This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back here on 96.5 The Fan with Fesco, Mac, and some other guy. We'll get into the evolution that's moving forward for ESPN and the NBA in about 15 minutes. Because when Bob comes to Mac and I and says he wants to talk NBA, we have to clean our ears out and say, excuse me?
Excuse me, what? What did you just say?
Yeah.
But I think it's a topic that appeals to literally every sports fan out there.
Sure, so it does.
It's going to be fun to kind of discuss the association, if you will.
Okay. Monday's loss, or the loss can always be better than a win sometimes, not always, but it can be, as we are now with our Chiefs contributor, Josh Briscoe. Big show tonight for you, buddy.
Yeah, did you just put the pressure on me to make Chiefs fans believe that because I'm going to be so good today that it's actually good they lost to the Bills? Because
right.
I don't know that I can live up to that. I'll try, but it's going to be an uphill battle.
It will be. It's an uphill battle for all of us. But like that loss yesterday, it was so funny because I look at this kind of as a generational loss. My kids, this team sucks. Me, I'm like, eh, we'll see you next week. You know, like I think more fans have kind of come over to my side where I said the regular season really doesn't matter. It's all about what you do in January. And I think the Chiefs set up Buffalo perfectly to embarrass them in January yesterday.
Yeah, and it's hilarious because I think we've talked about this a time or two over the last several weeks, just because this standard that you just mentioned there is so alien to any of us 5 years ago, certainly 10 years ago, to be in this headspace of like, oh yeah, no, we'll just see in the playoffs. Like, in the playoffs, the Chiefs will figure it out. I think what you can take from a loss like this is the same thing you can take, frankly, from a regular season win, which is a clue as to what the team will look like in January and what these matchups can give you. And I do think we learned some things that way.
I think also, too, Andy Reid does a great job of kind of okey-doking the opposition into showing their hand and then going, okay, this is what you're going to do. And then when the playoff game rolls around, this is how they're going to counteract it. Patrick Mahomes is going to find a way to beat the spy. They're going to find a way to contain Josh Allen. Like, all the stuff that went wrong in this game will not be going wrong in January when they meet up.
The only one of those that I'm particularly worried about that I think maybe is what happens when the pass rush only sends four. But even that, I have a little bit of optimism because Charles Omenihu should be back relatively shortly. I'm hoping we see more from Joshua Uche shortly. He was out there a decent amount yesterday. I haven't seen the snap count for him yet. But he was not making any real impacts, nor was George Karloftis, nor was Mike Dana. So I think that's the thing that we saw yesterday that I'm most worried about, because a lot of the other stuff I do think can evolve over the next half of the season. Again, remember, this is essentially the halfway point of the year for the Chiefs. They were never going undefeated. That was never even a consideration for me. I don't think they needed to be thinking about that in late December, early January anyway. If you want another silver lining, maybe just getting that out of the picture is not a horrible thing. But I do think the Chiefs showed some legitimate flaws yesterday, and I still think that they should probably be the favorite in the AFC.
Josh Uche, 5 defensive snaps, played 7% of the
really?
Game. Yeah.
Wow, I think that might be lower than last week. That I saw him take a real long kind of looping stunt at one point, and then I think maybe he dropped into coverage once. I was like, oh, Uche's out there. Mm-hmm. And then I frankly didn't see him very often after that. So, okay, well, my eyes did not deceive me.
Yeah. The Worthy Mahomes thing, what's the percentage on Worthy? What's the percentage on Pat? Because I think we can all, for the first time, I think in my following of this team in this town, we can put a little blame towards 15. I think that's okay to do every once in a while now that we've seen him enough. But what's the percentage from Josh Briscoe on Worthy Mahomes in the connection?
I think it depends on if you want to adjust for the people involved, right? If you have perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time and a rookie wide receiver, then in that instance, I might make it even more to the Mahomes side of that equation. Also, though, Xavier Worthy, who is now, he's a rookie, but he's also an NFL wide receiver now, and you want an NFL wide receiver to make that catch. So I'm really very near that 50-50 line, which is kind of funny because 2 weeks ago, the sideline, walkout that Worthy had, that was really on him. I mean, that's just poor awareness, even though Mahomes probably could have helped out there a little bit too. That one's like 95% Worthy. And then the miss last week, out of bounds was totally on Mahomes. He left that ball totally uncatchable. Maybe you can say it caught some wind or something in the air. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yesterday, that one has blame to go around. Mahomes could have put that ball in a much better spot because there was no pressure around Xavier Worthy there. He was alone. He could have made it easier on his rookie. Worthy could have also, like, done Mahomes a favor by dragging that foot at the right mm-hmm. time. So I really do think that's a mixed bag.
Yeah. I think you're probably right about that. I think you could place the blame on either one, but I think if you ask Mahomes, he's going to say, I want that throw back. I'm going to lead him little bit more, put that in a better spot, and then all of a sudden, you know, we have a touchdown there, and maybe we have a different, you know, style of ball game, you know, at that point in time. So, but I think a lot of it, too, though, Josh, has to do with, like, it's just not the left tackle. Like, this offensive line just has to play better as a collective unit.
Yeah, and I'm going to be really interested to get to go through the tape from yesterday and watch that again, because there was a couple of moments where Mahomes, I felt like, was throwing off his back foot when he probably didn't actually have to. Mm-hmm. And you've had some of those games now where the interior's maybe been a little bit underwhelming compared to, again, the standard that we measure them against. I didn't think Wanye Morris ever got, like, baptized yesterday, but there was a lot of duress. And the thing that, another thing where I think that is a legitimate takeaway from this game, both for what the Chiefs gave up and for what they couldn't get for themselves, the big plays, the explosives, you know, we've talked about success rate and how consistent this Chiefs offense has been. Mm-hmm. And Kareem Hunt had a perfectly fine rushing day yesterday, and Andy Reid after the game said he felt like he probably could have called a couple more runs when it was all said and done. But when you have an offensive line that you are losing faith in, and I think Mahomes has really had a fluctuation of faith in his offensive line over the last couple seasons in particular, it's harder to hunt for those big plays, which is why it hurts even more when you miss one with Worthy. And Buffalo was able to just sort of dial it back. And I guess not dial it back, but kind of cock back and unload some of these deep shots to Amari Cooper early in the game that make you go, oh, well, this actually could be an even worse day at the office than we were fearing. Ultimately, it's the first time the Chiefs defense has given up 30 points since the Super Bowl against the Eagles, right? Like, that's an outrageous stat. I don't even think that was in a horrific game for the Chiefs defense for what it's worth. I think it exposed issues at every depth of the defense, and I think you saw issues at just about every depth of the offense, too.
How many issues do you think were exposed versus how vanilla maybe they were on the defensive side yesterday?
I don't know if they were vanilla. They were weird, and I don't know. I guess it sort of depends on what Spags' intention was there, but they could not get pressure with four. They could not get pressure when they weren't blitzing. That's a very real issue. Again, hopefully Aminihou and maybe even Uche can bring a little bit of an adjustment there. This linebacker core does not have a lot of speed. Leo Chanel, obviously a tremendous athlete, but he's not like your agile sideline-to-sideline guy. Tranquil maybe lost half a step. Bolton's never been that guy, so I think that's legitimate. And then the second cornerback position, I think I was pretty optimistic Jalen Watson's injury, thinking, well, you know, Dave Merritt and Steve Spagnuolo deserve your trust here, and I still believe that on some level. The thing I may have underrated at corner is when you have two guys out there that you're not super excited to have on the field in coverage, being on the outside Nazi Johnson and in the slot largely Shamari Connor, then you do give quarterbacks two options, and you've got two guys to kind of protect yourself from on your own team. So I think that's an issue, too. I might be a little bit more bullish on them figuring that out, but that was a rough performance for, I think, Nazi Johnson and Shamari Connor, even given the pick earlier on.
I know you said you haven't really gone back and watching, you know, the certain plays per plays, but what did they do so well against Kelce yesterday to only have two catches for 8 yards?
A lot of man coverage, and it was happening against Hopkins as well. Obviously, Kelce's stat line is crazy. My deputy editor over at Chiefs on SI, Jordan Foote, made the point yesterday that Travis Kelce was the Chiefs' third receiving tight end yesterday. Mm. That he was also behind Peyton Hendershot in the box score. And that's a troubling thing. So I think it was a lot of man coverage that's the one thing that really, for Kelce and Hopkins and Juju, that's the thing that you would rather see zone for all three of those guys, kind of those veterans that can separate with their brain a little bit as opposed to separating with breakaway speed. I think that's the main thing. I'll be interested to see, like, how high of a percentage of the time Kelce was getting an extra set of eyes on him. But the fact that they were able to do that to Hopkins and Kelce, and even to a lesser extent to Juju, he was basically shut. I had one catch for 8 yards. I'm not as worried about it because the offense doesn't run through Juju anymore. But being able to hold all three of those guys down is a little bit concerning. And I wonder if Mahomes is going to have a few things on tape that he'd like to have back too. I didn't see him getting open a lot though.
What do you think Pacheco is going to bring back to this offense?
Hopefully another excuse for Andy Reid to run the ball in relatively obvious situations. Like, I am always historically a throw the ball more guy, but the way the Chiefs offense has been working, and also Kareem Hunt, 14 carries yesterday, still almost all of what the Chiefs did on the ground. I think you have him and Pacheco being able to split that workload. It should hopefully extend both of their shelf lives. It should hopefully keep both of them fresher into the playoffs. And then there's a little bit more juice that Pacheco can bring, a little more speed. Not that he's a breakaway fast guy, but he has a gear that Hunt doesn't have. But Hunt has vision and balance that Pacheco doesn't have. So I think it's a really, really nice 1-2 punch. I'm excited to see it come together. I don't need to see it in Carolina for what it's worth, but it sounds like Pacheco's probably pretty close to ready to go. So I think there's a good chance we do see him against the Panthers.
He's our Chiefs contributor from SI.com. Mr. Briscoe, what do you got going on tonight for your show here on 96.5 The Fan?
We'll have Matt Verderam on the show from SI.com, and we'll talk about all of these things plus a little more. I'm going to go back through, comb through the film, fellas, and we're going to talk a little more about Xavier Worthy, the fact that Kingsley Suamataia was a healthy scratch yesterday is an interesting subplot for the rest of the season, and then a little more on each of those issues where I think there were some things exposed on both sides of the ball. I'm also not exactly in panic mode. I've seen this Chiefs team lose a regular season game before.
And they're going to win against Carolina 20-7.
You think they're going to get to 20? I think that's great, Dusty. I take that right now.
You're taking 17-3?
I think 17 to like 8, maybe. I don't know how the Panthers get 8.
It'd be 5. 17-5.
Yeah. Yeah, one field goal in the safety seems good. Yeah, I think there's a self-inflicted wound there that just gives the Panthers 2 points. And we'll have a really sort of nihilistic conversation on Monday, I think. Right. Did Chiefs-Panthers matter? No, guys. No, it never matters.
All right, well, stay dry and have a good show tonight.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys later.
I hope they run up the score against Carolina and get gas points at Hy-Vee. Score.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
40 points, that's a 40-cent per gallon savings, so I'm going
better
for 40.
It. Better believe it.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.